Tanya for the 23rd day of Teves is at the beginning of Perek Tesvav, chapter 15. It's on page 40, and the number at the bottom of the page is 64. Until now, the Alter Rebbe has described and explained the various levels of Tzadik, Beinoni, and Rasha, and in Perek Tesvav, the Rebbe begins to describe the various levels within the category of Beinoni. Perek Tesvav. And with this we will understand Mashakosuv, the Posuk in Malachi, where it says, V'shaftem ri'isem ben tzadik l'rosho ben eved elikim l'ashaloy avodi. The Gemara actually asks, isn't this Posuk being redundant? It says, you will see the difference between a tzadik and a rosho, between one who serves God and one who doesn't serve God. So the Gemara says, isn't the one who serves God the same as Tzaddik? Isn't the one who doesn't serve God the same as the Rasha? So obviously, the Gemara is implying that they are not the same, and is asking for clarification, how are they not the same? El Tereb explains it this way. Shahefesh ben Eved Elikim l'Tzaddik, the difference between one who serves God and the Tzaddik, because they are not the same, the Pasuk is not redundant. The difference is who she'eved, the expression Eved Hashem, who loshon heva. That's in the present tense, that he is now be'emtza ha'aveda, he is now in the midst of the work, he is right now working at his service of God. Shehi, what is this work? Hamilchom ma'emai yetzahaza, the battle with his yetzahaza, with his gabit olov, to be stronger than the Yetzahara, l'gar shem ha'ir ktano, and to displace it from the small city, meaning the body, shele yislavish be'ivri haguf, that the Yetzahara should not be able to clothe itself in the limbs of the body. So the Beinoni, who is serving God, present tense, is still in the midst of the struggle to prevent the Yetzirah from using the garments of the body, its garments in the body, to express its desires and its wants. Shubemis Aveda v'omo godu, and this is called an Aveda because it is in truth a very difficult work, lehilochim beitomid, to constantly be battling with the Yetzahara, v'hainu, and who is it who does this kind of battle, who is engaged in this kind of battle? This is the Beinoni. So the Eved Hashem, one who serves God, is not the same as the Tzaddik. It is a reference to a Beinoni. And it refers to the Beinoni because it is said in the present tense, Eved, he is now working at serving God. What does it mean to work at serving God? That you have to fight to be able to serve God. Otherwise, the animal soul would do what is not permissible. Aval ha-tzadik nikra Eved Hashem. But a tzadik is called not Eved in present tense, but Eved in as a noun. B'shem ha-teyar k'mei shem chochamei melech. Just as when we use the noun to describe a person as a king or a chacham, we're not describing an activity that is in the process, that is happening at the moment. Rather, we are describing them with these nouns because kvar nase chochamei melech. One is already a chacham before he is called a chacham, and one is already a melech before he is called melech. It's not that he is becoming a king or he is becoming wise. Kach zeh, the same is true also with the tzaddik. Kvar ovad v'gomar l'gamri avedas hamulchom im hazar. He's already completed the work with his yetzahara. The battle is over. He has completely displaced his Yetzahara, and his heart is empty within him. He no longer has a battle at all. And therefore, he can now be described as Eved in the noun, he is a servant of God rather than he is serving God. The reason that the Alter Rebbe chooses the examples of Chacham and Melech, if you want to find a noun, there are so many nouns you can choose. What is Chacham and Melech? So the explanation is, the Rebbe is describing a tzaddik. That a tzaddik is an Eved Hashem, not Eved Hashem. And in being a tzaddik, as we learned earlier, there are two parts. There is the godly soul, and the status of the godly soul of a tzaddik, and then there's the animal soul, and what the status of the animal soul is in a tzaddik. And therefore, in describing an Eved Hashem, and describing a tzaddik, the Alter Rebbe chooses these two nouns, one describing the Yetzer Hara, the godly soul, and one describing the animal soul. Chacham is a description of the godly soul, and Melech Zokin Uchsil, is a reference to the animal soul, to the Yetzer Hara. Ubebeinani Yesh Gam Kein Shtei Madregis. Now that we've explained what Eved Elikim is, the one who serves God, that it is not the same as the tzaddik, now what is the one who does not serve God, but is also not a Rasha? So in the Beinani, there are also two levels. Eved Elikim v'asher lo yavodei. The two descriptions of Eved Elikim and the one who serves God, v'asher lo yavodei, the one who doesn't serve, are both references to Beinani, but in Beinani there are two forms, there are two conditions. So there's one condition in Beinani that is called v'asher lo yavodei, who does not serve God, v'af al pikein einei rasha. But not serving God doesn't mean that he sins. He is not a Rasha. Because he is a Beinani who has never sinned, even the slightest sin. In a description of a Beinani, we know already that a Beinani does every mitzvah that he can fulfill, including also Talmud Torah. He never wastes time when he could have been studying. Why then is he called one who does not serve? It's because he's not conducting any battle. He's not waging any war with his Yetzer in order to overcome the Yetzer. He doesn't need to use the godliness of the godly soul that gives him the ability to use the control of his mind that rules over the heart to prevent himself from sinning. He doesn't have to do all this, and he's not doing it, because his Yetzer Hara is not interfering at all and is not obstructing his service of God. The Yetzer Hara is not distracting him from his study and from his service, and he doesn't have to battle with his Yetzer Hara at all. Not because he's a tzaddik. His Yetzer Hara has not been transformed and has not become godly and good, and yet his Yetzer Hara doesn't interfere with his service. Kagein, what kind of a person could this be? So the Rebbe gives an example. A person who by nature is studious. He's a masmid, and he loves to learn. He didn't become this way through great effort and through diligent devotion until he acquired the habit of diligence. He is this way by birth. It's because of his disposition. That is a physical condition. As the Gemara says, that a person who has a dark bile is generally introverted and studious. The person who has a lighter color bile is more outgoing and more frivolous. So because of his condition, he basically loves to learn. He's an introverted person. And that's why it is not difficult for him to be devoted to the study of Torah without distraction. And furthermore, he doesn't have to fight against his passions to prevent himself from sinning. Because he is indifferent, he's frigid by nature. He's cold-blooded. So he's not very passionate, and therefore it is not a battle for him, and it's not a struggle for him to not be distracted by the passions that other people are distracted by. And the same is true with all other forms of pleasure. He is simply not passionate in any of the pleasures of the world. And so he's not distracted by these things, and he doesn't have to fight against them. He doesn't have to concentrate on the greatness of God in order to arouse in his mind a fear of God that would help him refuse to commit any of the negative commandments, because as we learned earlier, the negative commandments are motivated by fear of God, and he also doesn't have to concentrate on the greatness of God to produce avas Hashem b'libei, a love for God in his heart that would motivate him l'dafka b'bikiyam ha-mitzvahs v'talmud Torah k'neged kulon, that would motivate him to do the mitzvahs and to study Torah. Elo dailei bi'ava misuteres asher b'lev kolos Yisrael. For this person, because of the nature of his disposition, because of the nature of his animal soul, which is a passive and phlegmatic animal soul, he doesn't need all that effort. It is sufficient for him to know that he's Jewish, and he has the love that every Jew has in the recesses of his heart, and that is enough motivation to do mitzvahs and to avoid the sins and to study Torah all the time. Nikru Ehaveshmei, every Jew is called those who love God, who love God's name, V'lochein Einei Nikru Eved Klau, and that's why he is not called Eved, he is not in the process of the war, of the battle with his Yetzirah, Ki Ava Zu HaMesutezes, because this love that is in the recesses of the heart of every Jew is not due to his Aveda, that which makes him, helps him do the mitzvah and avoid the sin is not a result of his aveda, of his efforts. Eina pu'ulose v'avedose klal, Elohi yirushaseinu me'aveseinu l'chlal Yisrael, v'kamesh akosuv l'kamon. Rather, it is an inheritance that every Jew has from our forefathers, as will be explained later, and therefore it can't be attributed to this person's effort, and therefore he's not called Eved. On the other hand, he's also not a Rasha, because he doesn't sin at all. So the first example that the Alter Rebbe gives of a Beinoni who is not in the struggle, not in the throes of a war with his Yetzirah, is one who by nature is born without great passion and without great appetite for physical pleasures, and therefore with a little bit of love that every Jew has in the recesses of the heart, he is already motivated and sufficiently motivated to not do the sins and to do the mitzvahs and to study Torah all the time. V'chein, another example of a Beinoni who doesn't have to struggle, even though by nature he was not born with a tendency to learning and an absence of pleasure and passion and physical things. Af misheini masmid b'limudei b'tivei, rak shehirgu atzmei lumeid b'asmoda g'daylo, but through his effort, he habituated himself to learning with great diligence, v'naseha hergel leitev asheini, and this habit has become to him second nature, and now that it has become second nature, he doesn't need any more than this love that exists in the heart of every Jew, because the force of habit enables him to do the mitzvahs and to study Torah without having to resort to great contemplation about God's greatness. Unless he wants to learn much more than is his habit. Should he want to learn more than his habit, then he would need a new contemplation and a new insight into God's greatness, new motivation, a new push to get him to break the old habit and to learn more than his habit allows. But as long as he is behaving within what he has already become habituated to, for that he doesn't need any great effort, although getting there took a lot of effort. He wasn't born this way. But now that he has acquired this second nature, it is now easy for him to continue to learn and to continue to do the mitzvahs without distraction, and the love in the heart of every Jew, the hidden love, is sufficient to motivate him in his Aveda. So here's another example of a Beinoni who is not serving. He was serving, but now that he's reached this plateau where he has acquired the habit of learning and the habit of doing mitzvahs, not that he's doing it without thought, not that he's doing it out of habit, but the habit helps him do it and helps him not be distracted and not be derailed from his purpose, and therefore the little bit of love that every Jew has in the heart for God, that is sufficient motivation that makes him do the mitzvah and learn Torah not by rote, but with devotion and with feeling. But this devotion and feeling doesn't take a great effort to arouse new feelings and deeper feelings as a result of his understanding of God's greatness, because he doesn't have to battle with his Yetzirah. The Yetzirah has succumbed to the habit, to the force of habit. And with this we'll understand the great advantage that comes from going beyond your habit, beyond what you're comfortable with, because that will determine whether you're in the category of Beinoni who is serving, or the category of Beinoni who is not serving. In the Hayyim Yom for the 23rd of Teves, the Rebbe writes a correction on the text of Torah Eir, and then says that by krechting alone, we won't accomplish any good at all. A krechts is only a key that opens the heart and the eyes, that tells us that we cannot afford to sit with folded arms, but that we need to plan an orderly work and activity in the service of God, each person, wherever he can be effective, to campaign for strengthening Torah, spreading Torah, and the observance of mitzvahs. One person could do this through his writing, another person through his speaking, and a third person through his wealth.